Okay, we're going to sing some more later. So if you like to sing, and hopefully we're going to sing some of those songs again. My name's Nigel. If I haven't met you, if you're here for the first time, come and introduce yourself. We'd like to welcome everybody here. We're doing a series, and this is week number 13, and we began last week in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, which is intriguing and mysterious to many people, but we're going to get into that, and hopefully we can all see more, okay? So, visions in the dark, and we picked up from some of the Old Testament books, dark times, times of trouble. God showed through prophets, God showed his people another point of view to see their situation, not just from what they saw around them, not just from what was happening to them, but to see things from the point of view of God, to see how God is behind everything, over everything, and that different view affected how they lived and how they responded to that situation, and we'll see that in Revelation, okay? And what we sang, I hope, what we're covering today actually is very closely related to some of the words you just sang. So I hope by the sharing this week and next week especially, you know, we could have more appreciation and more meaning for in the things we sing, and more realization, more appreciation. So that's what's happening. Let me just say this by way of introduction. This week, today, is a historic day for me, for my family. It is 30 years. Wow. Now I'm 30 years old. Neither am I married 30 years, but more than that. It is 30 years since my family moved to Toronto. Exactly 30 years. We moved in the first couple of days of July 1986. We had been in London, Ontario, and we relocated as a family to Toronto from the small town to the big city, and it got bigger. There we are.
That's not 30 years ago.
Yes, that's not 30 years ago. And that's my dear wife, and this is a joint effort, right? Without her, this wouldn't be happening. So we moved in 86, and we've been here with the church, serving the church for 30 years. And I thank the Lord. There's a lot of things we could say. We don't have time today. Another time we might have time to recount, a lot of things we went through. Let me just give you a quick bird's eye view. We moved at that time. We had that half of this building existed. There was a meeting here as a church in North York. When we moved, my wife and I, and we had one daughter at that time, we moved downtown. 153 Spadina Road, there it is. Spadina, just below Casa Loma. That's where that was the so-called campus house. We lived there with other families who served the church, and the church began meeting there down in the so-called annex north of Bloor on Spadina. It's still there today. So we lived there. Then in the 90s, the Lord was with us, and more people gathered. So in the early 90s, we relocated from Spadina Road to Cecil Street, which is one block south of college, directly south of the University of Toronto. Cecil Street, there it is. That's kind of... and people, 20 people involved with this church lived in that house. 20 people, including my family. By then, we had three children, so five of us. We had other families with us, and we had students on the top floor, second floor, etc. 20 people lived there, and on Sundays we had up to 150 people come there to meet. So there was a lot of traffic, a lot of fellowship, singing, prayer, what a Bible study there. Okay, so, and then later we moved up here. Do you have one more picture, Cecil? Maybe you do. Okay, there you go. It looks prettier. That's a little bit how it looks today. They've improved it. Okay, so that's quick overview. And in the more recently, we all began to meet here on the English side in Sunday morning. So, all right, that's Okay, now, let's pick up where we are. Visions in the dark. Visions in the dark, and we're in the book of Revelation. We have been going through, let me just back up, because a couple weeks ago, we talked about Daniel, the visions in Daniel. Let me back up a little bit, remember? Daniel chapter 2, the last time I was up here, 3 weeks ago, we covered Daniel chapter 2, that image, statue, gold head, silver, bronze, right, iron and clay feet. There's the statue, the vision that God showed Pete Daniel and the king of Babylon at that time, 500 odd years BC, and they were given a vision of empires, successive empires that would rule that part of the world, and which they did. The Babylonian Empire, Persian Empire, Greek Empire, Roman Empire, and its continuation. There was a vision. And you know, there are things we can see in this vision, these visions, that the ones we've covered and will cover, that help us today. How do we view the world? How do we view events that are going on around us? And we mentioned at that time, 3 weeks ago, two things. Number one, two characteristics of this image. Number one, declining value. From the gold to silver to bronze to iron and clay is declining value. That shows you governments in general, empires, kingdoms, human rule tends to decline. There's a tendency, you know, look at this. There's a tendency not to get better, not to improve. You know, the path of human society, of human government, you know, people talk about utopia, you know, if we go take this path, follow this philosophy, this ideology, this form of government, we will arrive at utopia, we'll achieve a perfect society. This vision says the opposite. It says, no, human government, human society, human ideologies do not tend to get better. They tend to get worse. They do not tend to improve. They tend to deteriorate. Okay? You check with what you know and what you've experienced in human society. That's why one good thing is in democracies, when the government's been in for a while, in power, they don't last forever. In a democracy, you have an election. Eventually, you may give them one term, two terms, three terms. You may re-elect them a few times. Eventually, probably you're not getting the same value as before, and governments get replaced. Why? Declining value. Deterioration. Number two, we mentioned back then, you know, the end of these empires, as it comes down to the feet, it says the feet, interestingly, are composed of two substances, iron and clay. Iron, which is a metal, clay, which is mud, dirt, right? And as you and I know, iron and clay do not bond together, do not adhere. They tend to disintegrate, right? Right? They tend to, you know, they don't hold together. They tend to fracture, right? So that tells you human society, human kingdoms, human empires, human endeavors tend to disintegrate. You may want to hold them together, but there's another tendency. They don't tend to adhere. They tend to fracture, to fall apart, to disintegrate. Okay. 10 days ago in Britain, and we mentioned this before the fact, there was a referendum in Britain, right, about 10 days ago. Should Britain stay in the European Union? Think about that. You know, somebody, you know, for decades there's been a good idea. Let's form a united Europe. We're stronger together. Let's, you know, all these people together will be one market and we'll be stronger and we'll be able to get more growth, better standard of living, et cetera, et cetera. Good idea. But what happens? There's a tendency to disintegrate, right? For the thing to come apart. So think about that, right? 10 days ago, Britain, the British people voted, surprisingly to many people and surprisingly to financial markets, they voted to leave the European Union, right? What was that? Disintegration. Disintegration. As the clay and iron, you know, people look at this, and I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, people look at that statue and say, okay, the bottom of it is the Roman Empire. What that's telling us looking forward, there should be a restoration of the Roman Empire. 10 toes, 10, right? They were looking for 10 nations to form the European, the future of Europe, a revival of the Roman Empire. That's what people said based on that kind of thing. Okay, that's one side of it. On the other side is there's this tendency of things to disintegrate, to come up, fall apart. Okay, what's happening? It's not getting better, it's getting worse. Now you got to, now in the UK, they're asking, are we going to have a united kingdom? Are we going to have a disunited kingdom? Right? The question now is not only will Europe stay together, now the question is, will the so-called united kingdom stay together? Right? Or will we have a disunited kingdom? Scotland goes off, Ireland goes off, etc., etc. Right? So, you know, I would suggest to you this is something we could, you know, look at. This is something, a principle that is conveyed to us in the Bible, in that prophecy. Look at it. It helps us understand the trends and the things that are happening in the world around us. Right? So, okay. You know, things tend to fracture, tend to fall apart. Yes, they do. But God, you know, this is human society, human empires, human government. There's this kind of tendency. God has another kind of kingdom. And that is the, you know, the other side. Yes, look at human government empires through history and currently. But God has another kingdom. It works a different way. And eventually, that kingdom is with God, and that kingdom is with people, and God wants to bring that kingdom to this earth, right? That's, you know, that's what God wants to do. All right, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 4. Let's read a little bit and talk about it. Here's a great, you know, let me just remind you before we read. The very beginning of Revelation, the writer gives a special blessing. You want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed today? Okay, here's a blessing we can all have. You can be blessed. The writer says in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed are those who read, and blessed are those who hear the words of the prophecy of this book, Revelation. If you read it, you're blessed. If you hear it, you're blessed. Okay, let's all get the blessing. Okay, I'm going to read and get that blessing. You're going to hear and get the other blessing. All right. Okay, this chapter 4 has 11 verses long. The writer says, after this I looked and there in heaven was an open door. And the first voice that I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. Immediately I was in spirit and a throne was set there in heaven. A throne was set, established in heaven. One was seated on the throne, and the one seated looked like jasper and a carnelian stone, some gems. A rainbow that looked like an emerald surrounded the throne. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne sat 24 elders dressed in white clothes with gold crowns on their heads. Okay. Flashes of lightning and rumblings of thunder came from the throne. Seven fiery torches, flaming torches, were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Something like a sea of glass, looked like glass, similar to crystal. It's like a glass floor, was also before the throne. Four living creatures covered with eyes in front and in back were in the middle and around the throne. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf or ox, cattle, right? The third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings. They were covered with eyes around and inside. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is coming. We sang that. Holy, holy, holy. You sang that. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne, worship the one who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne and say, Our Lord, this is what the 24 say, Our Lord and our God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things, and because of your will, they exist and are created. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. That happens in these chapters too. God's people say, Amen. I agree. It is so. All right. So, praise the Lord. You're already blessed because you heard it read. Okay, let's get more blessing. Okay. John is given a vision, right, from God to see things from God's point of view. There's a situation on earth. There's an empire that's powerful, and these are the little folk, right, who can be oppressed by that empire ruling over them. But God gives John a vision of what's happening, not on the earth, above the earth, with God, and that's to help him and the people to see their situation in the light of that, in the light of what's the situation with God. How are things operating in God's realm? And that should influence us. Okay, so John says, you know, I heard a voice that come up here as to where God is. I saw a door. There was a door standing open, right? There's a view. God gave a view of God, of the situation where God is and the situation around God, so that John could convey it to others. They could share the same view, and there are principles here. These are not literal things that we are to apply literally, but it's the kind of view, it's symbolic. There are signs that we can apply, right, to us, and that's why we're looking at this. Okay, John says, I saw, you know, there was a door open in heaven, and number one, first thing, primary thing is, and there was a throne. The first thing, the main thing that John saw, yes, I saw heaven. I saw where God is. And the first thing I saw, the main thing was I saw a throne. A throne is a place for a ruler, a king, the person with power, authority. I saw a throne set in heaven. And this should remind us, you know, the previous visions, this is related because you go back to Isaiah, to Ezekiel, to Daniel. Now you're in Revelation. Yes, they're hundreds of years apart. They have this common element that the prophet sees a throne. Think about Isaiah. We started this series, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah says, chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on a throne. Yes, earthly kings pass away. Earthly rulers come and go. Empires rise and fall, right? But I saw the Lord high on a throne. God is on the throne. God, the creator of the whole universe, God who made everything, God who sustains this universe, who keeps it running, this God is on the throne. Amen? Amen. He's on the throne, right? Things may happen, things may rise and fall on the earth. Things may get better, things may get worse. But God is on the throne, right? So the central feature is the throne. Ezekiel, the same thing. He described a vision and a lot of things. Eventually, he came to the point of saying, there was an expanse and there was a likeness of a throne, a sapphire throne. Daniel said, chapter 7, the Ancient of Days, that's God, took his seat, his throne. He describes the throne. The throne is central. So I have a couple of quotes for you. We can go, right, from, this is from scholars who've studied this, written about this. Okay, here's one, Andreas Hoch. The striking feature of the throne in heaven is a fundamental theme of this book. The throne in heaven is a fundamental theme of Revelation. this book, its majesty will stand out in contrast to other stone. Other thrones on the earth around God is on the throne. Another quote I think we have. Revelation chapter 4 begins with a glorious vision of God's throne room. Right? There's a room in which God's throne is. God's throne room. It's the theological heart of Revelation. God is worshipped by heavenly beings for his mighty acts of creation. God's sovereignty in creation is the basis of his sovereignty in judgment and redemption, which is new creation. God's throne room is the heart of Revelation. We need to emphasize this because many people, you know, as soon as you talk about Revelation, people think of, whoa, a lot of stuff goes, they know a little bit. A lot of stuff goes on in Revelation. There are beasts, 7 heads, 10 horns. There are wars. There's 200 million horsemen. There's a battle of Armageddon. There's an antichrist. There's all this stuff going on. There's a beast out of the sea. There's a false prophet. There's a lot of stuff going on. And people look at that. I want to know, tell me, who's the antichrist? Is it President Obama? Is it Donald Trump? There's a woman riding on the beast. Is that Hillary Clinton? You know, and every time there's election, the identity of these things changes. You know, the Antichrist was George Bush Sr. Then it became Bill Clinton. Then it became George Bush Jr. And then it became Obama. Now it's going to be somebody else. Who is the Antichrist? Right? And you'll find this. You see this on the internet. And, you know, who's the beast? Who's the false prophet? You know? And, okay, warfare. What is this? Is this a cruise missile? They're riders. They look like locusts, and they have hair like women, and they belch out fire. And what is that? Is that a tank? Is that a cruise missile? Is this nuclear war or what? Is that an F-15, F-35, F-36? What is that? You know, you get in your, it sounds like a video game. You know, people get occupied and they try to figure out all this stuff. Well, that's not the way to go. That's not the way to go. You have to realize, what is John trying to convey? Here's the point. We're not talking about this. In these meetings, we're not going to tell you who's the next candidate for Antichrist. We're not going to tell you who the false prophet is, who the woman is riding on the beast. We're not going to tell you that stuff because that's not the central point. The central point of the heart of Revelation is you got to start with God on the throne. Amen? God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. His promise is true. He will not forget you. Thank you. For God is still on the throne. All right. God's on the throne. There is a throne. That's the point. Realize, no matter what, you know, you look at the world situation and you say, ask yourself, are things getting better or are things getting worse? Ask yourself, are things getting better? Think about security. What happened this last week? Think about security. Think about terrorism. Did things get better or things get worse? My answer is worse. Maybe you feel they got better. There's terrorist acts in Turkey, right? At the airport, Atatürk Airport. The main, that's a hub in Turkey, a big hub for flights. Terrorist attack in Turkey. Right? Dozens of people killed. Terrorist attack in Bangladesh. Those are two places where it's increasing. Okay, this thing is spreading. Yes, there was war in Iraq. There's war in Syria. Now it's spilling over to what? Turkey. It's spilling over to Bangladesh. It's going to spill, right? There's et cetera. You could talk about the Philippines, other places. There's terrorist groups. Things, you know, from that point of view, things are getting worse, not better. We're not arriving at utopia, right? It's not, you know, some people have this idea. Human society is getting better and better. We're all good, and we just need to get along together, and things will get better and better. We'll arrive at utopia, peace, harmony, economic growth, prosperity, all good. Really? Really? Look at society. The tendency is not better and better. In some aspects, it's going the other way. Why? Because the Bible says humanity has a fundamental problem. Right? It has disassociated itself from God the Creator. It's not rightly related to God the Creator, who has everything good intention and desire for humanity. We have a problem with, there's a problem we distance ourselves from God, and we're reaping the results of that disharmony with one another, and et cetera. How can we get back? Get into right relationship with God, right relationship with one another. That's the message of the Bible. That's allow God to rule, right? The question is, who is on the throne? Who is on the throne? Yes, in the universe, God is on the throne. And God is in control. But the question is, for you and I, who's on the throne? In your life, who's on the throne? In your family, who's on the throne? In your household, who's on the throne? And most of the time, it's us. Then it's not going to go that well. Okay? If we allow God to be on the throne, to be in our life, to be on the throne in our life, then God's kingdom will come more in us and more through us. Right? This is the message of Revelation. Amen? Yes, God is on the throne. But, you know, the purpose is, may God's kingdom, which is, you know, as it's done in heaven, so it should be done on earth. In heaven, there's no problem. God rules, God reigns, everything's good. But on earth, not everything's good, because God's not reigning fully in our life and human society. Right? So that, you know, let's go there. You know, I have a picture. Sorry, if we back up to that circle one. Okay, we don't have time to get in. You know, you read this chapter we read. What, you know, and it describes things. What's the point? The picture there described in Revelation chapter 4 is God is in the center. God is on the throne in the center. Everything else revolves around God, right? Seven lamps, 24 elders on thrones, four kinds of living creatures, all the angelic beings, and all creation is around God. But God is on the throne in the center, and everybody's rightly related to God. God rules, God reigns, and yes, if other people administrate, they do it in subjection to God. They're subject to God, and they're able to administrate through him, and people respond to God with worship. That's what's described there, without going into detail. Amen? Amen. When we let God be in the center of our life, right, then okay, we're rightly related to God. God can bring us in proper relationship with him, and through us, our family, our household, our relationship with people, right? God's kingdom comes. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer. If you go to the last slide, which we just had. Yeah. How do you apply this? Answer, this prayer has this kind of feeling. It's God, you know, you're in control. God our Father, you're in control. Everything's good with you. May your kingdom come. This is a good prayer. It starts with God. It starts with God on the throne. And the prayer goes this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, may your name be honored. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, may your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. Come to my life, come to my family, come to my decisions, come to my living. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Good prayer. Then, yes, we have human needs and we also pray for that. But this prayer starts with God. Starts with God on the throne. Ask God's ruling, reigning to come to our life, right? And then we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We need food. Forgive us our debts, our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. How about we pray this together? All right, how about we say it together? Ready? After three. One, two, three. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen. Which is traditionally what's added on the end. All right. Okay, we asked the musicians to come up. Help us. You know, in the picture, we didn't get time to, in that picture described to us, there were four living creatures. They were the worship leaders. We don't have four different creatures. We have five musicians. They, in the picture, right, that John described, they were living creatures. What were they doing? They're leading worship. They worship God, and they lead the other folk also into the worship of God. That's what we're doing here. Let's, you know, we're worshiping God, and also through the Lamb, that's chapter 5, that's Jesus Christ, what he did for us. That's next week, chapter 5. Okay, we're going to have communion, the Lord's table here. If you're a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, we welcome you to join us. We're going to have the bread, have the cup. We're going to pass it around. If you're not ready or don't feel, you know, if you're just here as an observer, we're good with that. We hope you would also be good with that. And, you know, it's not a problem. You just want to let it go by. That's fine. We're going to do this for about, we're going to sing some songs, pray, worship, and God for about 15 minutes. Okay, thank you.